Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast, your weekly analogy of every single episode of Pokemon ever. And this podcast will go on forever because they're still doing the damn show. But my name is Wrestling Chris G. I am one half of the host of this show, and on the other line, he is the moonstone to my Clefairy. It is good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie Man, how you doing?
So I don't have to touch you with myself.
No.
Okay.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about how I said that.
Because I was like, I watched the episode.
Those moonstones were touching those Clefairies, and those Clefairies were getting really happy, and they evolved.
They were dancing around and everything.
But this is the fantastic episode that we've been building up to for, I feel like 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yes, this is the only episode so far that you were almost sick for. Which would have been interesting because I don't know what I would do.
Oh, I was on the verge of skipping this episode. No, we can't do that because we start skipping on episode 6. What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, that sets a precedent. You know, we skip here and then we get somewhere in the 40s and you're like, yeah, I'm not really feeling this episode. We just skip it, you know?
Yeah. So, it's going to happen. We're going to finally hit a episode. I don't know what episode it is, but we're going to hit an episode and we're going to be like, do we have to cover this episode? And I'm going to be like, yeah, we got to cover it. But I think that's going to start when we get into the episodes that didn't air here in the U.S. of A.
Well, yeah, but see, I would actually be more interested to talk about those than episodes that we've seen.
True, because I don't think you've never actually sat down to watch the ones that have never been dubbed in English and just have subtitles that are in Japanese.
I definitely haven't seen... I don't know what the technical name of it is, but I'm just going to refer to it as Beach Day.
Beach Day. Okay, so the one where they go off to the beach, James gets boobs and all that good jazz.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was trying to avoid describing, but yeah, basically.
Oh, okay. Well, the good thing with that episode is 90% of that episode is indeed in English. And only the scene where James gets boobs is it in Japanese.
Gee, I wonder why.
So yeah, that scene was never dubbed, but don't worry. I do have that episode in its entirety, so if you have a problem finding it, I will get it over to you.
Yeah, what are we looking at in terms of getting to that?
Looking at this episode, let's see. That will be episode 18.
Okay, so we're not terribly far from it.
No. That's actually the very first episode that did not air in the U.S. So, it aired out here, but it was released on VHS tape, but it was not shown on TV.
Yeah, I never remember tuning into it on a fucking Wednesday morning.
So yeah, that by itself, and then that's when we're gonna start getting into that. Yeah, we're gonna, and then we have another one, The Legend of Dratini, which is the infamous Safari Zone episode, and then
and then
two episodes after that is Cyber Soldier Porygon, and we all know what episode that is, but trust me, everybody, you have about a year until we're covering that one. That's the episode that gave everybody in Japan seizures. So make sure when you're watching that episode, because I did watch it, make sure you have lights on all around you, Doug.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to play on a phone screen. I mean, it's a new phone, but still, I don't know how it's going to play on a phone screen.
Oh, yeah, you got a brand new phone. That's something we could talk about real quick. How do you like it?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's iPhone. I didn't like change. I didn't go Android or anything, but.
So let me ask you, for the for the new iPhone that they're talking about, I heard that they're changing the that you're not going to get earbuds with it and one other accessory. What do you know what that accessory is?
I don't know because I got earbuds with this.
Oh, is that the newest one?
It might be the 12 that's coming out in September or whatever the fuck it's going to end up coming out.
Yeah, I was hearing all over the internet people are throwing their arms up because I guess Apple keeps taking away things as they release their phones, and I guess they're taking away something else. They've already taken away the ear jack, and you have to buy an extension for it.
Well, I mean, I didn't have a headphone port with the last one.
Okay,
I mean, but that's been gone. That was the 8 that I just had. So, and yeah, I mean, but they didn't. No, you didn't have to buy anything. They give you a dongle.
Oh, they do? Okay. Yeah.
So people are full of shit.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're taking away. Let's see. Oh, the new iPhone is not coming with a charger. An iPhone is, yeah, you have to buy the charger separately from the phone.
What?
Yeah. So iPhones going forward now is not going to have the charger. You have to buy the charger separately in order to charge your phone.
Well, if I have to do that in, you know, 2-3 years when I get a new phone, then I'm just going to get a wireless charger and call it a fucking day.
There you go. They do have fast chargers now, so
yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't jumped on that train yet and gotten a nice little wireless charger.
No, because you can't use it while it's charging.
True.
You know, like I can sit there and play my game and let it charge just on a wire charger. Like, it would defeat the purpose unless I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, I can't touch you for 40 minutes or whatever the fuck. So are we stalling?
Yeah, we are stalling.
Is that what's happening?
No, I honestly, it doesn't feel like it to our fans, but it's been 2 weeks since we've recorded an episode and it's nice to kind of catch up while we're doing this. We have officially released our podcast, though, on patreon.com/everypokemon. There you go.
Yes, the first episode, I mean, obviously, as you're hearing this is the sixth episode, but as we're recording this, the first episode is available for public consumption. The second episode will be coming out this upcoming Saturday. We got a few in the bank and we're just kind of trying to stay ahead of ourselves.
We're in a good space. We have 5 episodes recorded before we actually started releasing. So we're always about a month ahead.
If you followed us over from our main podcast, Sports Entertainment Breakdown, we're on a well-deserved break.
Hell yeah. It's actually kind of a breather, actually, because I don't know if I can be the most positive right now on wrestling.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, you know, so we're on this break now. We're actually, as we're sitting here recording this, we're actually going to be back in about a month. I don't know if I misquoted us on our actual break, but we're not actually coming back until, people will be hearing it on the 21st of August, if all goes well. So it will actually be a month, since we're sitting here recording this. It's very tough to not get into what's been happening because this isn't the space. But it's strange. And I mean, you know, we're sitting here and sports are getting ready to come back. You know, baseball's getting ready to come back Friday. Friday. You know, the NBA, they seem to be getting acclimated in their little bubble in Orlando.
It's weird, and I mean, I'm going to give baseball a little bit more of a chance because I mean I can't go off of their 1 or 2 week preseason, but boy, that Sox and Cubs game that I just watched That was boring as all hell.
Well, yeah, but you weren't a baseball fan to begin with.
Yeah, but I still watched it. My family watches it, so I kind of have to keep up with it. And it's the only other sport out there that I'll actually sit down and try to enjoy. But, man, that was rough.
No, I mean, that's bad. I mean, we're used to watching wrestling where they're basically at, you know, these training facilities. So you're talking, you know, maybe a couple hundred if people were actually able to be there. But these baseball stadiums, you're looking at 30 to 40,000 if it's full.
Yes.
And that's
it's
crazy.
It's a little tougher. It's a little tougher to do it. You have the announcers forgetting to pull down their microphone. I thought that was funny. I don't know if you saw that part, but that was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because they're so the game Sunday.
Yes,
it was in Wrigley, but I was watching the White Sox broadcast because I don't really want to get into the whole bullshit with the Cubs and their own network and all that shit.
Oh, yeah. So, I thought they were going to be on Fox. And then come to find out, I had to watch it on ESPN.
Yeah, they were on ESPN. But yeah, so the White Sox announcers were calling the game from Guaranteed Rate. They weren't in Wrigley.
No.
And they weren't together either.
No, they were all in a different room. One of them looked like he was inside of his home.
I think one of them might have been at his residence, come to think of it. So it's going to be weird. You know, it's the same way they've been doing NXT. Tom Phillips is the only one that's actually been there. Mauro and Beth have been at home. But for some reason, AEW insists on having a full commentary team, which is weird.
It's weird, but I mean, I do enjoy that. Not to veer off all of our podcasters that don't watch wrestling, but yeah, it's different. It's definitely an acquired taste to watch wrestling right now. And I'll just leave it at this. When you lose 1 million people, literally to the T, almost, well, actually it is to the T, because they were getting like 2.4, 2.5
yeah.
million people watching on a weekly basis, and you're down to 1.5 and 1.4 million people, and you lose that many people, there's something wrong there.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's with no competition, basically.
Yeah.
You know, how are they going to fare when there's like a marquee baseball game on a Monday night? Or, you know, NBA, you know, during the week or whatever the fuck. You know, they're gonna get fucking creamed.
Yeah, they are.
And then, you know, let's fucking, that fucking football goes off without a hitch. They're gonna die on Mondays.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
if they're already taking a hit now, we really don't want to talk about this episode, do we?
No, we don't. we're getting back into wrestling mode before we're on a break, damn it. Okay,
yeah.
So this episode of Pokemon is called Clefairy and the Moonstone, or as it was translated from Japanese, Pippi and the Moonstone. I don't know which one I like better, but I do like calling Clefairy Pippi.
I'm starting to come around to Pippi and the Moonstone. Sounds like a bad 60s girl group or something.
So this episode aired on September 15th, 1998. And what we like to do here, if this is your very first episode listening, is we like to go back in history as to historical events that happen on this date. And Doug, I believe you have the very first one.
Well, I have a question.
What's up?
If this is their first episode, I don't think they're doing it right.
Well, people might just tune in to listen to their favorite Pokemon episode.
That's true. This is their favorite?
It's not mine, but it might be other people's.
All right. Well, with that little nugget out there. So on September 15th, 1949, The Lone Ranger premieres on ABC.
No, say what?
So you're talking, this is one of three channels. You're talking black and white. So this is pretty big because everybody knows the Lone Ranger, you know, Hi-Ho Silver, and hopefully they know more about the Lone Ranger than that terrible Johnny Depp movie.
Yeah. Wow. It's been that long. And yeah. You said one of three channels?
One of three channels at the time. You were either working with CBS, NBC, or ABC.
Oh, okay.
So.
Damn. All right. Well, in 1982, we have the very first issue of USA Today was published on today's date.
So if you've ever stayed at a hotel and opened your door in the morning and stepped on something, it was a USA Today.
Yes. So what is a magazine now? But it didn't start off as a magazine. It started off as a newspaper.
Which, for those kids listening, a newspaper.
It's a piece of paper that used to tell you what's going on the news. It used to be what you hold on in your hand today, which is your cell phone, which tells you everything.
Cell phone, which who knows what could be happening when people are actually listening to this.
I know.
You know.
So, all right. But those are the two big news things. But we do have something else to let you know, too. And we like to give you the Who's That Pokemon in this episode. And this week's episode of Pokemon, the Who's That Pokemon, is starring none other than Clefairy, because they were doing it right. I mean, the episode starred Clefairy, and who's that Pokemon? It's Clefairy. So if you thought differently, you're like, oh, it's Pikachu. No, it's Clefairy. So, yeah.
It would be weird, wasn't it? If it was, you know, Clefairy and the Moonstone, and the Who's That Pokemon was fucking Zubat.
Hey, I mean, Brock did catch that Zubat.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. I kind of got a kick out of that part.
So, all right. So let's go ahead and start this episode. Are you ready, Doug?
I am ready. I have it queued up here.
All right.
Kind of go through it. I don't think we're going to be as picky as we have been.
No, I don't think we can be.
If our intro is anything to go by.
So we did have our weekly week recap of last week's episode at the beginning of this one, where we saw Ash win his Boulder badge from good old Brock and having Brock follow him on his nice adventure. And then we basically just jump into the episode of Ash, Misty, and Brock just walking. They're on their way to Cerulean City, and they run into a guy who's getting attacked by a bunch of Zubat.
Now, I misremembered this.
Okay.
Because they walked up on this guy, and he's being swarmed by the Zubat, right?
Yes.
And, you know, Ash is like, you know, we gotta help. Well, fucking Ash. Well, okay. Ash is a dick, first of all, like right out the bat.
Oh, you mean by pulling out his damn Pokedex while a guy's getting attacked?
Yeah, he goes, Dexter, analyze. It's like, you don't have to command Dexter. Like, you've pulled it out like multiple times already, and it just is on. One time it activated itself. And this motherfucker, it's not Siri, you know?
Facts. But yeah, he's getting attacked, and he pulls out his Pokedex, and he's like, what are those Pokemon? And
no, he knew they were Zubat, which is weird.
Yeah, he knew that they were Zubat, but and the Pokedex was like, oh, this Pokemon does not like coming out in the sunlight. And this asshole was like, well, not these Zubat. Well, we need to help them.
Yeah, and Misty's all up in his face, like he under. Duh.
I wanted to just be that guy, like right behind him. I wish I was Brock, because I just would have just popped him on the back of the head and be like, "Help him!"
Yeah, and then we can figure out what's going on with Zubat.
But okay, I do kind of blame Brock and Misty too, because as Ash is doing this, neither one of them threw out their Pokemon to help this guy either. So there's three people just watching this poor man get his ass bit up by a bunch of damn Zubat.
Well, Misty would have been helpless.
Yeah, true.
She's got a bunch of water Pokemon. But no, I misremembered this. They come up on the guy, and, you know, Pikachu, you know, rushing ahead a little bit, Pikachu eventually clears him off with a Thunderbolt.
Yes.
And I misremembered it. I thought this guy was going to come up, and he was going to be mad. He's like, how could you ruin my experiment, or whatever the fuck. You know, I thought it was going to be, I was doing that on purpose. I had it perfectly under control. But no, he's like, you saved my life. And
oh, yeah. You saved my life. And he drops in and he's rhyming. And Misty is just like, oh, he doesn't look like a poet.
Always rely on Misty to keep it right on the ball.
But this guy is praising Ash and his Pikachu, saying that they're best friends, and that he loves that Ash and Pikachu are so close together, and he can tell that they're such a great team. And Ash is just like, yeah, well, I mean, well, what are you doing here? And he starts talking about himself. And do you want to hit this next part?
I do, if I can get caught up here. I was doing so good.
Oh, but right before we get into that, this guy, and we haven't named him yet, but as he's praising and doing all these things, he goes and gives Ash and Pikachu a hug. And Pikachu is like a sandwich, and Pikachu finds himself in this situation far too many times. You would think he would just get on Ash's back and just stay there, but...
For goodness sakes, he was sleeping at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, true. He was just resting right on the backpack.
So, it's not like he hasn't been up on Ash's shoulder before.
But
we established in the freaking pilot, like 5 minutes in, that Pikachu doesn't like to be grabbed.
Yeah, he doesn't like to be grabbed. He doesn't like to be hugged. At this point, I don't think you can poke a stick at Pikachu without Pikachu shocking the mess out of you.
Why the fuck would you be poking a stick at a Pokemon?
Hey, don't tell me what I would do if I saw a damn Pokemon. Ouch.
Get the Pokemon ASPCA on you.
Are you abusing this Pokemon? No, I just wanted to see if he was alive. I didn't know if he was breathing or not.
No, if he was breathing. Sir, that's a Snorlax.
Well, I was poking his damn belly. You have no idea. Snorlax would be my Pokemon. If Snorlax and Charmander, I would go far.
So we walk into these caves.
Oh, wait. But we forgot to mention what his name is. This guy, he says his name is Mr. Seymour. Get it? Seymour? Because he studies Pokemon and...
has the big, thick glasses.
Yeah. So...
It's a kid's show. It's a kid's show.
Yeah, it's a kid's show. But play on words. Good job. Good job, Japan.
So we walk into this cave, and it's lit up to fuck, basically.
Yes.
And the professor's like, you know, I mean, these Parasect are putting their mushrooms all over the place. These sand shrew are being dried up, which was depressing as fuck.
Yeah.
The little sand shrew just on its belly, just blah. And that was depressing. And he's like, you know, it's messing with the natural habitat of things.
Yeah. And he wants to know who's doing all of this.
Right.
So he's in here trying to help these Pokemon, but how the hell are you trying to help them and you're not taking down the damn lights? That's why these damn Zubat attacked you, because they think you're the one... like that's disturbing their habitat.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here going, all right, so you understand what the problem is.
Take the lights out.
Take them down.
So, but no, he doesn't do that. And they're walking through, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we see Clefairy.
And they've got a little hunk of something that we don't know at the time in their hand, and they're running, like they're booking it somewhere.
Yes.
And, you know, once again, the Pokedex comes out, which he doesn't say, hey, Dexter, or whatever. It just, you know, so why the fuck did he say it before? And
Ash looks at the Pokedex. The Pokedex describes Clefairy and states on there that very few humans have actually seen a Clefairy up close and in person. So what does Ash do? He's like, okay, I'm going to show Clefairy off to the world. I'm going to catch this. And Mr. Seymour grabs his arm and goes, no, you can't catch him.
Which I disagree wholeheartedly with.
Yes. What is up with people cock-blocking Ash when he wants to catch a damn Pokemon?
It's a wild damn Pokemon.
Yes.
You know, it defeats the whole purpose of what we're doing here.
Yes. But I guess people feel certain ways. I mean, according to Seymour, these are all his Clefairy. He just wants to keep them for his damn self.
Well, what does he say? Oh, these Clefairy would be happy if they stayed here. Well, all Pokemon would be happy if they were wild.
Yes.
But they learn to respect their trainer. I mean, we'll get to it in like 10 minutes, but that doesn't make any sense.
But Ash, being a 10-year-old little boy, when Seymour grabs his wrist and says, don't catch this Clefairy, and tells him why, Ash goes, you know, I do understand.
I would have kicked him. I would have kicked him in the fucking shin. I would have.
I know. I mean, how mad were you that he just let the damn Clefairy go away? And Clefairy was just... That would have been such an easy catch.
Yeah, because that Clefairy, it wasn't paying attention. You know, and it... Now I see why you didn't like this. I mean...
Well, that's just part one of why I don't like this damn episode.
Right.
But from here... we have Meowth pop up out of nowhere behind a rock as the Clefairy was bouncing away with its Moonstone in its hand. And Meowth is trying to scare this Clefairy to give him the Moonstone, and that basically him and Team Rocket are going to take these Clefairy.
Yes, it's then obviously revealed that Team Rocket was putting up the lights, and... You know, Team Rocket want to basically harvest the Moonstone to power up their Pokemon, which sends a very confusing message about what exactly stones are for.
Yeah, so, okay, well, that's one thing I kind of got confused about, because, I mean, obviously in the game, you use the Moonstone on your Clefairy to evolve your Clefairy into a Clefable.
Right.
But... They're making this seem like the Moonstone can evolve your... I mean, it can just on its own just power up your Pokemon, which I never thought a Moonstone could do. Nor, what another thing that I don't understand is, how the hell is Clefairy holding the Moonstone and not evolving after touching the Moonstone?
Maybe you have to want to evolve.
But they do.
Later, yes.
I mean, I guess, but... I mean, we're going to find out later on in an episode, but I remember Lieutenant Sarge, he forced his Pikachu to evolve into a Raichu. He didn't get Pikachu.
When is that episode? That is such a good... When is that episode? Can we talk about that episode?
No, we can't bounce ahead yet, Doug.
Again.
But yeah, that episode is coming, and let's see. I can actually look it up right now. It's episode 14, so we're not too far off. We have another 8 episodes before we get to that.
And then episode 12 is the Squirtle Squad. Oh, yes. Can't we just skip this episode and just move down a little bit?
Oh, so you're now in my camp that this episode is just not a good episode.
Once you look at the wiki, and you see all the episodes you could be talking about.
And we're sitting there talking about a little pink puffball.
Now, look, and I, you know, fair play to the little pink puffball.
Clefairy's a cute Pokemon, but Clefairy has that one tooth that kind of looks kind of like dumb. Like, it doesn't even have a full fledged of teeth. It just has that one little tooth, like right in the middle. It just.
Well, how many teeth do you need, really?
I mean, you need more than one.
I mean, I don't know.
maybe that's why the Clefairy dolls don't show any teeth and it's just all gums, because they're like, oh, Clefairy looked kind of dumb in that episode.
Like, we're not just going to put one tooth in here. We'll just have them be closed.
For real. So, all right. But back to this episode. We got to finish this episode, Doug.
I know.
So, Pikachu runs over to Clefairy and starts talking to Clefairy, basically to help Clefairy out, while Ash, Misty, and Brock and Seymour are talking to Meowth, and they're like, oh, you're the troublemakers that put up all these lights inside of this cave. Of course it's you. So.
Fucking Team Rocket comes out of the goddamn shadows.
Yeah, of course, because Meowth always does their bidding for them.
I'll say this much, they get full entrance this time.
Yeah, they do.
They didn't get cut off.
Yeah, they got Meowth, actually got his Meowth. That's right. That's right. So, okay. So, yeah, they start talking about how they want to power up these Pokemon or with the Moonstone, and that they need these Moonstone, and that they're going to go out throughout this entire cave to find it. All they have to do is basically follow the Clefairy.
And then, so, in an effort to stall the heroes, I mean, that's not the right word. I mean, they call out their Pokemon, and then Ash and Brock call out theirs. Ash calls out Butterfree. Brock calls out Zubat.
And Ash just looks at him, and he's like, oh, I caught this Zubat on the way into the cave.
Which I like, because then you got Ash sitting there going, well, shit, well, I could have been.
Hey, but Ash helped him catch that damn Zubat, because Ash's Pikachu is the one that zapped all the Zubat.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that's Ash's Zubat. What are we talking about here?
Brock was just like, well, if Ash isn't going to catch this Pokemon, I'm going to catch it right now.
See, nah, I don't like that, because I got the image of like a Zubat like that didn't make it, because you saw like a flock of them fly away, right? Fly into the cave. And I just got this image of one that didn't make it. And Brock's just like, well, I mean, the humane thing would be for me to catch him. So he just kind of walked over and goes, plunk.
You know what? And I'm going to get to why I actually think that happened. Let's finish this, because there's a key part to make me think that Zubat was hurt before any of this.
Right.
So he calls out Zubat, a hurt Zubat, that still has a little bit of kick in him, to fight Koffing and Ekans. And they have a nice little Pokemon battle going back and forth, and you see Clefairy running off into the distance. But not only do you see Clefairy running into the distance, they made sure that good old Meowth, who's not a part of this Pokemon battle, is right behind him.
Right, which was a good little piece of storytelling, because, you know, they don't usually, well, there's been times where it's like they didn't do that. So it was good that they made sure to show him going after Clefairy.
Yes.
In the midst of that,
we actually got to see some very cool moves in this Pokemon battle.
Yeah, it was actually quite a nifty little battle.
We got to see Supersonic for the first time from Zubat.
Right, and we saw
Smokescreen,
and we saw Koffing and Ekans get
tangled up
and
yeah, they were confused by the supersonic And Ekans started attacking Coughing and had Coughing in a nice little bind. When in the game, you see Pokemon hurt himself in confusion. Well, this time, Ekans hurt Coughing in confusion.
Yeah, you actually saw the effects. Then we saw that same Clefairy bounding out of the a gap in the cave after Team Rocket had assumedly been dealt with.
Butterfree used his whirlwind and just blew Team Rocket out of there. They couldn't really be blasted off because they're in a cave, but they pushed them further into the cave thinking that they knocked them out.
Now, I have a question.
What's up?
Ash says whirlwind Butterfree all the way out of the cave.
Yes.
Can he control that?
No, he can't. But it's assumed that Team Rocket is now dealt with, and they're gone now.
I was going to say, Butterfree, give him a whirlwind, but only give him a whirlwind at half speed or whatever the fuck. It's like, no, that's not how this works. You either do it or you don't.
Yeah, for real. So, all right, Ash and Brock defeat good old Team Rocket for right now.
Right.
I'm just going to put that out there because, of course, they're still in the cave. So, and Meowth went after Clefairy. So, now Seymour and Misty went to follow the Clefairy as well. How did they not see Meowth? Unless Meowth was behind them.
I'm going to guess that Meowth was behind him. I don't know how, but that's the only way it's going to make sense where I don't have a headache.
Okay. So, Misty and Seymour go and find Clefairy. Clefairy pops through this little hole in the cave, and he starts running away. And this is where we get that who's that Pokemon, which we told you was Clefairy.
Yeah, see, I don't get that where I'm watching him.
You just steamroll through these episodes.
I get the Poke Rap at the end, but I don't get who's that.
Oh, I know. Oh, we're gonna have to do the Poke Rap at some point. You think you can do it?
No.
You don't think you can do it?
No.
Oh, back when and this is kind of dating me. Back in the I think I was in the fourth grade.
I thought you were gonna say back in the 40s. I said.
No, I was in the fourth or fifth grade. We had a show and tell type thing, and what I did was I brought my Pokemon CD and I did the whole Poke Rap in front of my entire class.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. And I thought that I wasn't going to be able to do it, but I ended up doing it, and I thought people were going to think I was lame. Boy, if I tell you, all the kids were like, well, how did you remember all that? How did you learn it all? Blah, 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 blah. I was like, well, I just listened to the song a million times and figured it out.
Chris got all the ass that day.
No. I was not the popular kid in elementary. But the kids came up to me that day. We had Seymour and Misty still following Clefairy when we come back from commercial break. And Clefairy is jumping on these rocks going up this little cliff / it's not a mountain. Yes. So it's a nice little rock cliff or.
Yeah. Cliff, I think, is right. It's not quite a mountain.
So, and Misty and Seymour just start following the Clefairy. And, okay, I've avoided saying this for so long, but for Misty being 10 years old, why did they sexualize her so much?
Well,
like she's in freaking overalls, a shirt that doesn't fit her, and in skin-tight booty shorts. If that was my 10-year-old, I am not having my kid leave the house like that.
You say the shirt doesn't fit her. I just call that a belly shirt and just move on with my life.
But a belly shirt on a 10-year-old?
Well, you know, whatever. It's hot. You know, whatever. Yeah, so. I don't know. I mean, maybe it doesn't seem so, it didn't seem so bad when we were watching it, because we were fucking, you know, whatever, we were 10, whatever it was.
Yeah. I was attracted to Misty when I was little. I always thought that she was one of the good looking ones. I always wanted her and Ash to be together, but that, right, that never happened.
Right.
So, but all right. So
they're up on this hill, and the Clefairy is headed off by Meowth.
Yes. And Meowth is now ahead of them. How the fuck did this happen?
Magic.
I guess. I mean, just, it's a kid show. Yeah, Meowth scares Clefairy, and Clefairy just falls off of this cliff.
Yeah,
and
knocks Misty into the water. So how heavy is this Clefairy, or how much was Misty not paying attention?
I just think that Clefairy had an extra meal that day and just weighed on it.
Yeah, it must have been. So they fall into this stream, and Meowth, like, pulls his claws out, and poor Seymour is shitting himself, basically. Which,
yeah, he's like, maybe we can think of something else other than trying to steal the Clefairy. And Meowth is like, no! And he just jumps, and Misty throws her Pokeball out, and out comes Staryu.
Staryu, which is another introduction.
We've never seen Misty Staryu. That is right.
And Staryu uses Swift.
And Water Gun.
And then fills Meowth up like a water balloon, basically. And Meowth goes shooting into the wild blue yonder, basically. And, you know, Brock and Ash just happen to rock up as the fucking fight's over. So it's like, all right, thanks, fellas.
So, and this is the first time that Brock brings out that he actually makes Pokemon food.
Yes.
And so they're all sitting down, and after this whole battle, Brock takes out his Pokemon food and starts feeding the Pokemon, and I'm guessing it kind of heals the Pokemon too, because his Zubat looks to really have enjoyed the food and looks to have been really hungry.
Well, you also have to assume, like, what, maybe an hour ago that was a wild Zubat?
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, you're talking a proper structured meal.
And Butterfree is enjoying it. Pikachu's enjoying it. Seymour asks for a little nugget from the food, and he's enjoying it. And Ash is like, well, I want some too. And Ash takes it, and it almost paralyzes Ash.
Ash recoils, like, not, like, really bad. So I'm like, okay, what does this food taste like that Ash basically goes into himself?
And then from there, Pikachu and Clefairy are talking, and then Clefairy gets up, and Ash and the gang, they all look over, and they're like, what's going on, Pikachu? And Pikachu points up at the sky, and they just run away.
Oh, yeah, that's not until later. I was like, then we get freaking Pikachu playing Pictionary, but that's not till later.
Yeah. So Clefairy and Pikachu just run away, and then we cut to a night scene, and it looks like Ash, Misty, and the gang are just in a forest looking for Pikachu and the Clefairy.
And then
they finally catch up to Pikachu and the Clefairy, and oh no, they were following Pikachu and the Clefairy.
Yes.
And Ash is like, man, where are you guys taking us? We've been walking for such a long time, because it was sunlight in previous scene, and it now dusk. It's just dark.
Yeah, it was dusk when they started walking.
So I'm starting to think that Ash doesn't get that much sleep on his Pokemon journey.
No. Or doesn't have very good cardio.
No.
They
go all the way up, and they find another cave that Clefairy was leading everybody to.
And they come out of the forest, basically, and we find the Big Daddy Moonstone, and we see the Clefairy we've basically been chasing the entire episode, take his little chunk and put it at the base, and it activates, and it brings all these Clefairy out from every little where, and we basically have, you know, ring around the Moonstone.
which okay, that part is, I mean, that part's cute.
Yeah.
Because all these Clefairy are just moving around the big old Moonstone, and they're getting ready to start their ritual.
Correct.
Because it's a full moon, and we have to say that because I guess this can't happen. It's a full moon.
Yeah, I kind of picked that on the rewatch. I was like, oh, that makes sense.
So only on a full moon inside of this cave where the Moonstone is, and what we didn't go over in the beginning of the episode was Seymour said that there was a big meteor that hit, and he thought that it was in the other cave, but it looks like the meteor hit and it was embedded in the ground behind this cave about a couple miles down. And that's where this big Moonstone was. So the big Moonstone was the meteor.
Correct.
So, but yeah, the Clefairy are all jumping around. And do you want to play Pictionary?
Yes, because this is probably my favorite part of the episode. So the humans are basically standing around kind of dumbstruck about what exactly is going on. And Pikachu, being the helpful little Pikachu that he is, he's standing there. He starts, you know, waving and talking and gets Ash's attention. And, you know, he's carrying on. And Seymour goes, do you understand what he's saying? And Ash, you know, Ash is a dick check again. Well, of course I do. It's my Pokemon. So, you know, Pikachu's carrying on. And he said, the Clefairy take the Moonstone and they do the Macarena. And Pikachu falls over. And I'm sitting there going, I'm stuck going,
Where the hell did he get the Macarena? It must have been like, but who? Where the hell did he see Pikachu do the damn fucking Macarena?
Do the Macarena. I would have liked to have seen that. Yeah, now that I'm saying that. So Pikachu falls over and he's like, ah. And he goes and gets a Clefairy. And he's like, the Clefairy prey.
They prey on the Moonstone because they come here. And basically, they believe the Moonstone picks the certain Clefairy in order to evolve themselves into a Clefable.
Which we're actually gonna see here in a few moments. If you're watching the episode with us, which you should be.
Yes, you should be. But of course, who comes to ruin the party again is good old Team Rocket, who seems like they were following the what they call the twerps into the forbidden cave or the secret cave.
Which is their own fault, really.
Yes.
I mean, they didn't double check that Team Rocket was dealt with. They just assumed
that Team Rocket was dealt with, and they didn't see Meowth get blasted off. They just saw Meowth kind of fly up into the air, and for all we know, he could have just flew up onto that cliff that he was flying over, and Team Rocket just happened to be there.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a kid's show.
It doesn't have to 100% make sense.
So, but yeah, Team Rocket comes out and they, let's see, oh, Seymour starts shaking and he starts running away. Meowth trips him. Seymour's glasses pops off his face and he's like, I can't see a thing. So Jesse and James at this point, they get their Ekans and Koffing and they release these Pokemon back out to have a second Pokemon battle. So I mean, I guess Ekans and Koffing got a lot of experience points during this episode.
I mean, they got their work in, right? I mean, you know, Ash and Brock call out Pidgeotto and
Onix
respectively, and
And Ash sends out Pikachu.
And Koffing sends out Smokescreen or whatever the fuck.
Yes.
And Pidgeotto tries to combat it with Gust, but that all that really does is create a diversion.
Yeah, it created a big diversion, and it looks like Team Rocket found the Moonstone and dug it away.
Yeah, they completely extracted the Moonstone, and all you're left with is a freaking crater. Which,
and again, like, I'm trying to put logic as an adult, but how the hell did unless Team Rocket knew that the Moonstone was already here and why they didn't take it during the day and they waited until nighttime, why did they, how did they, I don't get it. So can you please make sense of this?
I don't know. I figure it's a 90s cartoon. Team Rocket are the bad guys. They're idiots when they're supposed to be. They're smart when they need to be. They've extracted the rock. They're riding away. Onyx pops up in front of them as they're making their escape.
Yeah, and then Seymour was talking to the Clefairy, and he's like, well, the Moonstone is sacred to you. It's your job to make sure that the Moonstone comes back, which I think that's kind of a dick line.
Well, yes and no. I mean, he's basically just trying to get, like, a little bit of clarity. He's like, you know, you're protecting the Moonstone, you know, and they just got away from it. Is what I'm saying to you right now getting through? And it, you know, right before they cut away, it doesn't seem like it's getting through to the Clefairy. They're just kind of standing there. They're like, well, we gave you your glasses. What else do you want?
Yeah, they're kind of confused. But then we, as you said, we cut to the scene where Jesse and James are just sliding down a mountain with this big old Moonstone. I kind of feel like this episode had a lot, and then they ended up cutting a lot out of this episode. Because how the hell... I still don't get it. How the hell did they get it on this big, gigantic platform to go flying down? I still don't get it.
They put this episode together. It was 45 minutes. They said, we got to cut this. We can't be doing super episodes our sixth episode in.
Yeah. So Onyx comes flying out of the ground somehow. Somehow Ash and the gang find Team Rocket. Basically sliding down this big old hill, and Onyx knew exactly where they were going to be and just comes out of the ground and completely capsizes this big old Moonstone.
Well, to be fair, Brock did say follow them to Onyx. Yeah. So Onyx was at least under orders, which, you know, if that's not the right, it's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he knew he had an objective.
Yeah, and it looks like Seymour, for whatever reason, was right behind Onyx underground, and so were the Clefairy. The Clefairy and Seymour followed Onyx's trail, so as soon as he capsized the Moonstone and Team Rocket, Seymour was in the hole, and all the Clefairy started piling out of this hole, and then they started surrounding Team Rocket and started moving their fingers back and forth, which I like this part of the episode.
Yeah, the good old metronome sequence, and seems like everybody was in a bit of a trance. You know, the humans got hit by it, Pikachu got hit by it.
Yeah, and I want to say what Meowth said during this. They're like, what are they doing? And Team Rocket is just following their fingers back and forth. Well, everybody is, but Team Rocket especially. And Meowth is like, this is a move that the Clefairy use. It's called Metronome, and nobody knows what this move does. And Pikachu is just standing in the background, smiling, moving his head back and forth to the music.
Yeah, he's just having a good old time. And then, let's see.
And Meowth is like, no, I have never seen it, a Pokemon use this move before.
And then I guess all the combined powers of the Clefairy doing the metronome turned them supernova.
Yeah, and just made the ground just explode. And not only did it just make the ground explode, but it made all the Clefairy explode. It made Ash and all of them explode. Like, everybody exploded from this Clefairy. But the Clefairy looked like they were happy when the ground exploded, because as they're piling out, they just all have a smile on their face.
And Team Rocket's been blasted off. We got the capper of, you know, Team Rocket's blasted off again.
So there goes Team Rocket, and Team Rocket is now gone. They are finished.
yeah, that's them for the end of the episode. It's, you know, 4.5 minutes left in the episode. They're gone.
And from there, the Clefairy it looks like they exploded the Moonstone.
Yeah, so they're standing there around the crater that had the Moonstone in it, and all of a sudden these little shards start raining down, and you know, when it first starts falling, it looks like there's enough shards for everybody to get it, but judging by the scene in a little bit, not everybody gets it, which is weird to me. I mean, you know,
I don't know. I mean, because it seemed like that big Moonstone was enough for all of those Clefairy, because there was no more than probably like maybe 20, 25 Clefairy from what it seemed like.
Right. But then, you know, so let's say every other one evolves just for the sake of whatever. So they're standing there, you know, and once again, you know, Ash sees new Pokemon. Ash pulls out Pokedex.
Yes.
And that's fine. Whatever. Once again, he's letting free Clefable go now. He didn't even have to waste time getting a Moonstone. He could just fucking get one. I know that's not the fucking point of this show all the time, but goddammit. But whatever. So, you know, after every other one evolves, they're standing there, and it looks like every other one is a Clefable, but there's still a handful of Clefairy. So I'm sitting there going, do these Clefairy, were they actively ducking?
Yeah, either were they ducking, getting involved, or were they, did all the Clefairy have an agreement that some of them were going to evolve and some of them were not? And that some of them are going to evolve next time?
But we don't know when the next time is.
No, we don't. And do they just wait for these meteors to fall? And do they have like a sense inside of their ear? Because it's also said in a future episode that Clefairy might be from outer space.
This is true as well.
That they're a space Pokemon. But we still to this day do not know where these Clefairy come from and why no one, barely anyone has ever seen Clefairy yet. Frickin' Ash has seen like 20 of these suckers, and he couldn't catch not one.
And he couldn't catch one. He couldn't get a Clefairy. He couldn't get a Clefable, because nope, he had to be the good guy. Bullshit. Yeah. So, you know, then they're standing there, and then Seymour goes, well, I'm gonna live with these. I'm going to live with them, and I'm gonna go to the moon one day.
This mofo. Okay, I'm sorry. I like Seymour. Seymour is all right, but Seymour is one weird dude. Like we've seen the, oh no, we haven't gotten to that episode yet. Okay, I'm already going ahead.
Don't be jumping now. We're almost there.
I know, but they meet so many like weird people, and these weird adults just flock around these kids. I don't know. I just think it's kind of creepy. Like thinking about it now.
All right, let's not start putting stuff where it doesn't belong now. Let's not, you know, it's a wholesome it's a cartoon, for God's sake.
Yes, it's a cartoon. So, but yeah, it's all these, he says that he's going to live with all these Clefairy and these Clefable, and Ash and Misty are like, okay, well, I mean, I guess. So they start saying goodbye to...
No, wait a minute. So nobody bats an eye when he says maybe one day he'll go to the moon with them. Nobody bats an eye, right?
Yeah, he just says one day I might go to the moon with them.
And all Brock says was, I hope you're able to send us a postcard. Yet nobody fucking makes a cheese joke.
No.
I was disappointed.
You're like, come on, the one time that you can make a cheese joke. But, I mean, people in Japan, I mean, maybe they don't believe the moon is made of cheese.
Well, they should, because it's true.
they start saying their goodbyes, and this is what kind of kicks me, how much time lapses in these episodes. It is now daytime, and the sun is out, and the sun is all the way up, and as they're leaving, we have them walking away, and then they see the sign for Cerulean City, and this is my favorite part of the episode. Can I say this part?
Yeah, knock your socks off.
All right, so they see the sign for Cerulean City, and on the sign, Gary wrote, "Gary was here, Ash is a loser." And Ash just loses his shit and just goes, you know what? I'm going to catch up, Gary. And he just starts running away. But unbeknownst to them, Misty has a down look on her face and is like, why the rush? Why do we need to go there so quick? And that's basically where we end this episode, is they're running to Cerulean City where the arrow was pointed so Ash can go and get his second badge.
Well, we don't know that yet. I mean, all we know is that he's going into the city where the gym happens to be.
But he's going to challenge for his second badge.
Well, right.
So, there's so much I have to say about the next episode, and the next episode is going to be one of my favorites. I'm going to have so much fun talking about this because we get so much background to Misty in this next episode. That's the end of this episode. Again, this episode was called Clefairy and the Moonstone, or as it was translated in Japanese, Pippi and the Moonstone. So
I'm starting to come around on, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, I like Pippi. Why can't we call them Pippi instead of Clefairy?
I don't know. What would the evolved form of a Pippi be?
Actually, I can look it up right now. Let's find out.
If Clefairy is a Pippi.
Let's see.
A Pipple?
I think I'm spelling the name wrong. Oh no, that's how you spell it. Pippi evolves into, let's see.
You're going to get the English translation. It's Clefable. No, I'm not looking for that.
Let's see. Yeah, it did. It says Clefable. What is... people are yelling right now, and they're trying to tell us, but I'm sorry, we can't hear you.
We could. That'd be weird.
I know, it'll be very weird. But hello, people. Let's see. Clefable. Fairy Pokemon, Pixie. Let's see. Gosh darn it. I just want the name. It can't be this hard.
Type Clefable in Japanese.
Clefable in Japanese version. There we go. Clefable Japanese version. It's called Pixie.
I like that.
Pippi evolves into Pixie. P-I-X-Y. Evolves into,
yes. Oh, it's with a, okay, so it's spelled funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there we go.
If you learned anything from this episode,
you now know what this Pokemon is called in Japanese. So, yeah, that was the episode. It's not, I mean, it wasn't terrible.
It's not as bad as you were making it out to be.
No. So, I mean, I had a good time recording this with you, even though I feel like part of this episode, we were just dragging tail to even start talking about this episode. But I kind of feel like you were kind of getting the way that I felt about this episode now that you are kind of putting logic together.
Well, I wanted to be as open-minded as possible. And, you know, I try not to watch, unless you're like, hey, we're doing two episodes tonight. I focus myself on one episode, right?
Yes.
And I watched it. Probably by the time we sat down here and started the Skype call, I probably watched it like a half an hour before we got on here.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm like, well, Chris was so down on this episode. Let's see if it was as bad as I don't want to say as bad as I remember, because I don't remember a decent chunk of these episodes, because it's been fucking forever and many beers ago.
How are you enjoying rewatching some of these old episodes now as an adult?
It's fun, because it's like, you know, it's a nice little blast of nostalgia. They're manageable episodes. It's like 20 minutes. It's not like I'm going to lose an entire day doing it. You know, it's not like we're rewatching movies, you know. I mean, I'm intrigued to get to the first movie. I'm not going to lie to you. I know that's a decent chunk away, but.
But it's closer than you think. We're going to have to really find out when that movie was released to find out when we're going to cover it.
So right.
We'll go over that off air.
Right. Because I think we tried to look it up and we got conflicting information.
Yes.
Which is weird, because it should just be a simple Google search, but here we are.
I think they kind of did things a little goofy, because I believe it aired properly in Japan within a certain timeline. But after the success they had in Japan and the success that Pokemon was having here in the U.S., they just was like, okay, well, we can throw this movie out there. And it has nothing to do with the main storyline, but it does, but it doesn't. But then later on, we find out that it does. It's really weird. So we'll get into that at a later time, because they finally started putting pieces of that movie in episodes, but you wouldn't know it unless you've actually seen the movie.
True. True.
if any of what I just said makes sense.
I mean, you sounded confident when you said it, so I'm going to roll with it.
All right, cool. So, but yeah, that's about it, everybody. Do you have anything else to say?
No, this was probably my
least favorite?
No, it's probably right under the first and second episodes.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably like third from the bottom. It was fun. You know, we were introduced to a handful of Pokemon. It set up the next one really nice, which I really like the linear, like, the connectivity of these episodes, these early episodes. I mean, I know it's only been, you know, six, but still. And yeah, you know, not every episode is going to be home run. Some episodes are going to be bridges. This was definitely a bridge. Next,
we're
going to
hit a lot of those bridges, but none are as bad as what this one kind of was.
No, I mean, but see, you say bad, but then what happens when we actually run into a legitimate clunker?
Facts. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I'm not going to say that this was bad. Okay, this episode was not bad. It just wasn't the greatest episode. It was different.
It was. That's fair. That's fair. Different.
So.
But yeah, next one is going to be a big old meaty one. I can kind of poke out a couple of these and kind of tell just from the title what they're about, which, you know, kind of gets me excited about certain episodes. Because, you know, it's early, so they can't really fuck around too much. They pretty much got to be throwing something at you every episode. So. But this is good. You know, if we stay ahead of our little stockpile, we should be.
We should be in good shape.
Should be on easy street.
So, all right, everybody. Well, that was today's episode. So, say goodbye, Doug.
Bye, Doug.
And everybody, this is Wrestling Chris G. Thank you for subscribing to this episode. And until we meet next week with the episode called The Water Flowers of Cerulean City, or as it was translated in Japanese, The Underwater Flowers of Hinata City. Have a good night, everybody.